We have projects on the installation. We've been working very closely with the state on road projects adjacent to the installation. We've identified the major roadway fixes, the access control points, the intersections, as well as the widening of certain roads so that once the traffic enters the installation, then, of course, it can get to its destination as smoothly as possible. The difficulty is that, in fact, the funding to fix, to make those major fixes has not been received yet, and so we will have our BRAC agencies here well before a lot of the fixes will occur inside the installation. So we will have to use various traffic management ways of accommodating that traffic.
Sounds like you're going to need some traffic cones and orange flags in the beginning.
A lot of those, both inside and outside the installation. Having said that, we have received funding for two intersections that are key inside the installation. We're working with the state. They need about 57 acres in order to widen Maryland 175. It's a couple, probably 2 miles plus through there. And the amount of land they need from the federal government is 57 acres. The appraised value of that land is around $20 million. We don't want the money for the land because if we do, that money goes into the general treasury, and the most you can get is about 50% of it, if, in fact, we would even receive any money. So we've asked the state will provide $10 million for the construction of that access control point. So it really is a collaborative effort, if you will.
We are talking with Bert Rice. He's the Director of Transformation at Fort Meade, and I wanted to get the flip side of that. Is there a message that you are sending out to the commuters when they start coming in the next couple of months, what it is they can do to make things a little bit easier on everyone?
Great. Any possibility or any ways that a commuter can come here other than using a single occupancy vehicle? The fewer single-occupancy vehicles we have coming through the gate will make a smoother flow of all the traffic through the gate.
So carpooling.
Carpooling, vanpooling, telework, alternate work schedules, compressed work schedules, use of mass transit. We have a shuttle now that we started in January of this year from and to the Odin and Mark station. That is working very well so that if people use MARC to the Odenton station, they will have a ride from there to their place of work. There's an internal shuttle. We've got two buses that will traverse the installation so that once they arrive at their place of work and they need to go across the installation, they'll be able to use that internal shuttle. So they can help themselves and help us at the same time if they will consider some other ways of getting to Fort Meade other than a single occupancy vehicle.
And what's your take on how many people have decided to move to Maryland, say from Virginia or from elsewhere in Maryland or the district, to be closer to Fort Meade?
That's a very good question. And what has happened is that when we first started this process, there was over 75% of the people that work for DISA, for example, living in Northern Virginia, and about 25% in the district, Maryland, wherever, of West Virginia, wherever they happen to live. That has already started to change because, first of all, for each worker, it's a very individual decision. It's, you know, I have children in school. Am I going to move? Am I going to remain with DISA or one of the other agencies? So it's a very personal decision. We understand that. So in terms of hiring, the DISA in particular started hiring people in Maryland, and they may have commuted down to their Northern Virginia office space, but now they're here and they're into their new building, if you will, right here much closer. So that process is in being. Right now, the last figure I have is about Instead of 75% living in Northern Virginia, it's something like 60%, and it's going in our direction. They're hiring people who live in Maryland, and a lot of the people have decided rather than make the move because they, you know, they enjoy their homes and so forth, is that they'll commute. And then on the commuter end is where we have to accommodate them when they get here. And we want to do that to the maximum extent we can.
I wanted to ask one final question before we let you go, and that is, you had talked about the mid-September deadline.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if you don't meet it? I know you're on track to meet it. I'm not saying that you're not. But what if something were to happen and you couldn't meet it? Is there a penalty?
First of all, we're going to meet the 15 September deadline with our agencies coming to Fort Meade. There is no question about that. So it would only be a hypothetical if we didn't meet that date, and I really don't care to go there. That may not be the case at other installations, and I'm not going to address that. But we will. We will. It's in the planning. Their movement schedules indicate that they'll really be closed here by the end of August.